friends and fellow sojourners of the Become Good Soil Through the Bible experience in a year. If you're with me, you're coming close to the end of Genesis, or you've crossed through Genesis. But either way, we are reaching a milestone this week of concluding the first of 66 books. And I want to say, well done, well done. It's messy, and that's okay. Friends, I just want to remind you today, as Tim and John, our Bible Project leaders, have reminded us, that the Bible is a collection of books contextually written by people in a Near Eastern culture, not a Western culture, and an ancient culture, not a modern culture. And so because it's contextually written literature, it should be disturbing at times. It should be confusing at times. And so if you are like me and you find yourself disturbed or confused over some of the poignant and particular stories, I want to urge you, don't stop there. Remember, it wasn't written first and foremost for us, and it wasn't written first and foremost for this hour on the earth. And so it's going to take some time for the modern Western reader. And so, as Tim and John have reminded us, I want to remind you afresh of the story at 30,000 feet. Friends, it begins with God, a creator and a lover, a God who brings order out of disorder and beauty out of chaos. It's a God who brings light out of darkness. I love reading this time. What stood out to me is this idea of even water, that at the beginning, at the genesis of creation, God divided the water, and there was water for sky in the form of moisture and cloud and rain and snow. And then there was water on land in the form of ocean and lake and river and bog and dew on grass. God creates creatures and image bearers, inhabitants that not only live but are invited to co-create with him. And then, as you've read, there's the great rebellion. We are seduced to try to be like God. And we go through what's can only be named for me as irreparable harm, intimacy loss, proximity with God lost, knowing the heart of God irreparably harmed. I think when I step out of the details of very confusing stories and sometimes disturbing stories in Genesis, what I see, as Tim points out, is the widening ripple effect of the rebellion. It's fracturing of every human soul, fracturing of every relationship, fracturing of the impact of gender, of men on women and women on men, fracturing of community, fracturing of the planet itself. But friends, the major theme is God has not given up. He has never given up back then and today. In our story, there are these disturbing resets like the Great Flood and Sodom and Gomorrah that I still don't understand. And yet he is relentless. His rescue is a multi-generational rescue. And so I have to back up from a story that began in the particularity of one man and one woman, Abram and Sarai. It's messy. And he's relentless. Generation after generation, we see Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Joseph, and then on and on. It's the 12 tribes of the people of the blessing that come forth in all of the mess, in all of the relentless prevailing. The shattered goodness within humanity dances with the continued intervention of our God. Friends, it's a love story set in the midst of war, inside every nation, every community, every family, in every human heart. And so as we turn a corner on Genesis and turn to the second book of the 66 collective, I want to give three pro tips. The first is, in your reading, when you're in the mess of literature written to different people at a different time, pause and come back to this question. What are the themes? What are the big, broad themes that we're being invited to explore and that we are observing ourselves? Secondly, what are your questions? I want to invite you, write them down and don't rush to answer them. We are midstream in an epic story that increases and doesn't decrease with mystery. And so it's okay to be in discomfort. It's okay to lack resolution. It's okay to be confused in the Old Testament because we're not living yet with the full revelation of the New Testament. So note your questions, but don't rush to answer them. And the third, one of the ways of reading it that's really helping me this year compared to something which I didn't practice last year, is beginning and ending each reading with the Psalms. The Psalms become beautiful prayers, and many of the days they just have a supernatural fit. And so I want to invite you in your reading to consider starting with the Psalm instead of jumping into the daily reading that right now, for example, has us in Genesis. Start with the Psalm, and then when you close your experience of the Bible Project for the day, go back to that same Psalm, but go ahead and pray through that Psalm instead of just reading it. And so, for example, today's reading has us, at least me, in Psalm 16. And so I finished my reading today with going back and allowing just a few pieces of that Psalm to become my prayer, to root me in the major themes, to settle me in my disturbance and discomfort. In Psalm 16, it's David's song that says, "Keep me safe, O God, for I run to you for dear life. I say, God, be my Lord, and without you, nothing makes sense. My choice is you, God, first and only. And now I find I am your choice. My choice is you, God, first and only. And now I find I am your choice." And friends, even in a prayer like that, it allows me to stay in confusion. It allows me to stay in disruption and stay anchored in a God who is choosing me. A God who is relentlessly pursuing me the same way he pursued Abraham and the family of Abraham, and Isaac and the family of Isaac, and Jacob and the family of Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel. He's pursuing us on this very day. So I invite you to end with the Psalm as a meditative, prayerful moment to just receive more of the heart of God and stay anchored in that place. So I bless you, proud of you, well done. And if there's any way we can help in this process, please reach out. Thanks, friends.